You're listening to the Crowdfunding Nerds Podcast, a podcast that will help you succeed before, during, and after your crowdfunding event. And now, here is your host, Andrew Lowen.
Hey everybody, welcome to Crowdfunding Nerds. We have an awesome episode for you today. I'm here joined as always by Rick and Sean. And in addition to that, this episode, we are featuring Tom Covert, who is somebody I asked to be on the program. He's a manager of a Facebook group of 45,000 people called the Board Game Revolution Community. He manages the Board Game Revolution, which has over 100,000, I guess, fans, followers, likes, just, you know, across various social media platforms. And then in addition to that, he's backed over 1,100 Kickstarters, and he has a problem, just like me. So welcome to the program, Sean.
Well, yeah, it's great to be here.
Hey, Sean, thanks for being here. And I go, and for those that don't know me, I'll stick with Thomas. I'm glad that you asked me to be on. I appreciate it.
You're kind of a hard cookie sometimes. You know, people have
on. I was hoping you didn't want to talk about this, but yeah, we can try to address the elephant in the room if you want.
I mean, I actually love it. It was going to be a little bit of a compliment because there are certain types of people. I tend to be really squishy and, you know, I always want everyone to like me and that kind of thing. Now, I think that we really need people like that are just willing to say things like they are. But, you know, it probably makes for a solid manager, I'm sure, you know, of a large organization like the Board Game Revolution. I'm sure
it makes it challenging. And just to touch, I do want everybody to like me. I don't want to not be a likable guy. It's just part of the problem for me is text, and I'm not going to use my autism or being on the spectrum as an excuse for being a jerk, but it happens to affect my interpersonal skills and ability to text and communicate, you know, electronically, where sometimes I say things factually and it's like I have a problem with, you know, the inflections in text. Whereas if you listen to me now, I mean, I try not to be abrasive in person. I'm trying not to be abrasive, but it just comes across that way. And I guess sometimes, yeah, you got to put your foot down when people are starting crap. And as a moderator, it's like we have rules and we have etiquette and we want people to be welcome and feel treated with respect. And sometimes it's real hard to please everybody because everybody's right now so tense and has been, especially with the internet. Everybody likes to argue and bicker and be right. And
oftentimes read things into what other people have said as well, right? That you might not do otherwise. You know, if you see somebody in person and then they say something, oftentimes it's taken with grace and seasoned with salt. Whereas you read it on the internet and immediately
you assume tone in text. And I suffer from it immensely. And I can recognize it. And it's something that I've been on a personal journey to try and improve. I definitely maybe wasn't the most likable person as I started on the internet, and I can take responsibility for that, but I've tried to like improve myself and improve the group. I'm not, you know, I don't expect everybody to like me, and that's okay, but I do try to treat, you know, our members with respect when I went, and same with our clients. You know, I try to give them the best service we can and support those that I, you know, support me and try to help people get their games funded and share the love of this hobby, right? We're all here. Like my initial things that I think get lost is we're all here to like board games. We all like the same things. I don't understand why it has to be so difficult to just share that. Like even if we don't agree on things, like why can't we grow as a community? I think a lot of that empathy is getting lost on the internet. A lot of the companionship, being in this together sort of thing, which is why a lot of people play games with groups, right? To spend time with those people. So to me, everybody's welcome at my table. I don't care who you are. It's a lot to navigate right now. It's a very difficult time.
Sometimes it just gets hard to see the forest through the trees online, you know, when you are talking to people, you know, or you know, oftentimes, especially when you're in the throes of a Kickstarter campaign or marketing or whatever, you're going to get people that respond harshly. You'll also get people that respond to try to trigger you on purpose, or maybe people responding in ignorance, depending on the mood that you're in. It's so easy to go on tilt and just, you know, maybe read into what it is that they've said. You know, there have been many paragraphs that I've written and deleted.
I'm guilty of that. I speak before I think, and I put my foot in my mouth a lot. It's just, I'm an impulsive person, and it's something that, you know, I eat crow and I'll apologize when I screw up. I mean, it's life. I mean, if I can't learn from my mistakes, I can only wish people were more forgiving. I think that's part of the problem. A lot of people hold grudges. I personally don't. And if like we butted heads and like, there's no reason we have to fight about it. I've had people block me and then later on unblock me and go, dude, I was having a bad day. I'm like, so was I. And then you push my buttons, but like, let's just drop it and move on. You know, it's like, it really doesn't matter. Like these things are, they're petty. But it's getting tough and toxic too. Like you said, Kickstarter comments, like you brought that up. It's getting really uneasy for creators. I don't know the right word. It seems very toxic. I can't even read Kickstarter comments anymore. There's so much hostility and just, you said ignorance, and that's a word that I think gets misunderstood way too many times. I throw it out there, but there's so much going on. That's one thing I've learned. So I started as I am a consumer, right? I like board games. I knew nothing about this industry. I started helping friends that I met that I thought had a cool game, and I talked to them on the BGG forums or whatever, or Facebook Messenger. And it's like, hey, I got this group. When BGR started to get, you know, 5,000-10,000 members, it's like doing giveaways and helping them promote it. But there's so much behind the scenes that I never realized. So now initially I was just as impatient, just as aggressive, and like, where's my game? I want it now. Or like all these petty first world problems. 'Cause let's be real. All board game problems are first world problems. All of them. You can take that the wrong way. You can take it out of context, but that's the reality. We have the luxury, and we're fortunate enough that we can afford games. Now, everybody can't. I'm about to lose my job. There's many of us out there without jobs. So yeah, it's going to be a little more difficult to have a wall of games, and I have to sell a bunch to pay bills. But the reality is the majority of us are buying games because we're fortunate, right? So these problems are just kind of petty. It's tough to say problems are petty because there's like real world issues that are affecting our industry, and I don't want to get into all that. So I definitely don't want to act like those issues aren't important. I was trying to think of like an example, though, back to gaming problems. Like I think Rodney Smith has a tweet going on right now that people are hot to talk about negative opinions and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yep. And it seems like that is a good topic, but it's a little vague sometimes, like, because the fake positivity is not healthy either. There's got to be a balance. That's one thing I've tried to do in BGR is like, we can have debates and discussions and not agree on stuff. And to go back to your point, Andrew, about not agreeing and having differences, it's like, when it comes down to games, you like Scythe, I don't. It gets so misconstrued online sometimes. Like, people get so defensive, like it's like you're talking bad about their kid. It's like, I just don't like it. I can tell you why, but then I get just as frustrated when somebody comes along and tells me how awesome it is. It's like, wait a minute, you asked me and I told you, and now you're telling me, like, you're arguing like I can't say that I don't like it. Like, it's just as bad on both ends. Whereas, you know, people come along and say, hey, I love this game, and then somebody comes and craps on it and says it's garbage. Like, that's not cool either.
Yep.
But none of that should be like a freaking fist fight. Like, you're going to throw down.
You're not my friend anymore. I'm not playing with you anymore.
Right. I'll play Scythe with you. I don't like it, but it doesn't mean I can't enjoy the time we spend together playing it. But if you're going to ask me why I don't like it, I should be allowed to tell you without people getting mad and offended.
Right. And I think actually, you know, Rodney, this podcast will probably come out a couple of weeks afterwards, so we can give people a little background on what that is. Rodney Smith responded to somebody very intelligently on Twitter, agreeing with their position of, you know, when somebody says like, hey, I just bought this game, I'm really excited to get it to the table, you know, and they share that in a group, somebody inevitably responds, that game's terrible, you should play this instead. And they just spent their hard-earned money on that game. And it's not like, you know, they have that other game that's brand new that they can just swap out for the game that they purchased or anything. And sometimes it takes the wind out of someone's sails where they just wanted to, share and celebrate, and they weren't asking for opinions and all that, but they get them anyway. Right. I have thoughts on this. Number one, it's the internet. And if you've never experienced toxic behavior, then you must be new, right? And second of all, you know, it is appropriate when somebody asks for your opinion about a game, like, oh, what, you know, I'm thinking about getting Scythe. What do you think? And then you should tell me, I think it's terrible because XYZ. And if I tend to agree with that viewpoint, I'm glad that you told me. But I think they were just calling out people that tend to hate on things, you know, when it was kind of unsolicited.
It had to have been a post that triggered it. So, it is a general behavior. And I can tell you from experience after 5 years of running BGR, I mean, I do see it. And guess what? I am guilty of it. So people will definitely say, no, you've done it. I've done it, and I'm been guilty of it, and I've done it in the wrong way, and I'm trying to work on doing it the right way. And there's definitely this thing I call time and place. So yeah, if somebody's just like, I just bought this or I got it for Christmas, I'm so excited to play it, shut the F up. It just scroll on by. I will sometimes say, like, if somebody asked, like, hey, is it any good? I think that's opening up a side chat. Let me go ahead and say, I didn't love it. Here's why. It didn't scale well with two, or I don't like economic games. You know what I mean? I should have the right to say that. I don't think that affects the original poster's enjoyment of the game or anybody else's game. Why would it? And how about you go play it and you decide?
Do you guys think that a lot of these conflicts with like views seem to become more and more polarized? You either have to like love something or hate something. And I suspect it's because of the algorithms that are designed to really present on your newsfeed agreeable content, so that when you do go to like a board game group where you are met with people who have different opinions, suddenly it seems more shocking or it's more extreme because you're so used to seeing content that's agreeable to you personally, because it's basically an AI algorithm is being used to like spoon feed you this content, so that your response to disagreeable opinions or content is that much more extreme because you are essentially unknowingly being forced into a bubble, an echo chamber of sorts.
You know, knowingly and unknowingly, I'll say that some people just don't play well in the sandbox together, and they spent quite a long time purging their friends of dissenting opinions and that sort of thing. So sometimes, you know, the echo chamber is by one's own design. You know, I tend to unfollow people if they are super duper negative or just, you know, really hateful or whatever it is. I don't know. I just have maybe in the last year, I've made a little bit of a turnaround on that, where it's like, you know, I think I need to hear dissenting opinions, because if I don't, then I'll have this weird stained glass view of the world that might not be the way the general populace would. But yeah, so let's get into the marketing a little bit, because we've talked a decent amount about, I mean, all the things going on, but
right.
I really want to pick your brain about Facebook groups. And right. In particular, since you deal like every single day, you and your team of mods deal with what people say in Facebook groups. We have, you know, our audience is full of Kickstarter creators and hopefuls, publishing companies and that sort of thing. Oftentimes they're single individuals looking to make their first or second game happen. Maybe they are more established. In any case, I find that you still have an individual person, a Facebook account that has to write whatever post it is. And I find in a Facebook group, it's so easy to post something stupid or something that, you know, it just doesn't work. And so what I'm really looking for is, I would love to understand from your perspective, can you give examples of times that people have posted something that was really clever, got a lot of engagement, and was really smart?
Definitely, yeah.
I would love to hear some of that.
It's a good question. And it's something that I've like had to adapt how I deal with over the years, going from being like a roadblock to people, like, I don't want to see it, it's spammy, and just blindly delete it versus try to help them make it better, which is a time consuming thing. It's like, I have to also balance, you know, if we make rules, some of these things aren't rules either. They're kind of interpretable in vague or gray areas. So on our mod team, we have a group chat that we kind of don't delete things, but we kind of, I have a few people that I trust that will look at it. Maybe we'll reach out. Maybe it was you posted. Actually, I think your post about your coin got brought up. So don't delete it. He's trying to be engaging. It's like not spam. It's like, because spam is subjective of what. And I don't have rules against it. Everybody needs to promote their game. This is the world we live in. We need to be able to talk about our products and share them. But
that's refreshing to hear. I think a lot of group admins don't understand that.
So I have 20 now, 22, I think total, including me and Katsuya, who's an admin. So I just brought on like 6 or 7 more. And it's definitely a handful trying to get everybody on the same page and understand that. So I've kind of had to say, nope, don't touch the spam stuff, just share it. Even if it's not spam, I don't want to like use that as a bad word. Trying to get that stuff looked at in the right light. So it's changed over the years to where I try to help, you know, I'll reach out to you. So to answer your question, like, yeah, there's what I think are good ways to do it and then ways not to do it. The ways not to do it, the faux pas, which I wish everybody would stop, and that's you have your own page or your game or your game group, a group dedicated to your game. You make a post there and then you go and share it in 40 groups and say, look at my game coming out. Because you made one creative post, you think, oh, but I was engaging, so I'm going to share it in 50 groups. The reality is a lot of people are in most of those groups, if not, let's say 5 of them. Most of us are going to be in 5 board game groups, especially some of the bigger ones. And now you're going to see that same post. So the second thing is the Facebook algorithms will downgrade a lot of shares, not as much as links, which I was going to come back to, but it seems like the shares don't get the engagement that you take the time to actually do what I consider a positive post. And that's take an asset from your game, start with like a good question, or try to ask for some feedback, or if it's a worker placement game, try to find something relatable, ask people what their favorite worker placement game is, or what can be done new in worker placement games, and then maybe a little blurb about your game, and then share an image of it, and try to get people engaging on it. But don't do that in 50 groups at the same time either. Like, space it out.
Yep.
Like, make a graph or a calendar and say, okay, I'm going to post in group X today, and then I'll wait 3 to 4 days, and I'll post it in another group, and then compare, because obviously, if one group gets you 20 to 50 to 100 comments and another one gets you 4, maybe you don't need to post there. Or
right.
maybe you're not active enough there and you need to get more active, because that also helps too. If you're not active in a group and then you're just posting there, Facebook doesn't, the algorithms don't like you. And we're going to talk a lot about the algorithms.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I have some follow-ups on that just from my experiences. So to catch everybody up on this coin thing that Thomas shared, I have this first player kind of initiative token in my game that I wanted to share. It's kind of a, it's like an angel demon type coin. On one side, you have an angel's face and it looks great. It says, you know, Soli Deo Gloria, which is like for, you know, to God be the glory. And then on the other side, it has the exact same thing that is just violently clawed out. It is like demons, you know, basically hate, you know, that, right? And I just thought it was really cool. It was like Harvey Two-Face's coin and very thematically appropriate. So I just wanted to share it and say I thought this was really cool. And I got this 3D render and whatever. I definitely didn't share a link to my Kickstarter or my website or my Facebook group or anything like that. What I was doing was I was just sharing content that I thought deserved to be shared. And my strategy was, if people were like, wow, what, where can I get this or whatever, then I would be happy to share more to that individual person in a comment or something. But I just thought, you know, number one, it's a great way to continue being involved in a group, just, you know, sharing. I mean, it's the thing I think about all the time, right? And so it's something I shared first with my personal group that I manage for Deliverance. And then it performed really well there. So I thought, well, I'll share somewhere else. So I shared in one additional group because it worked in my personal group. I shared it out in Board Game Revolution community. And then after a few days, it did pretty well. And so I shared it into another group. And so I think that after probably a week, it might have been in like 3 or 4 different groups. But I think that that was kind of my strategy. I did not want to just spam it out. I created an individual post for each individual group. I copy pasted the same paragraph and then changed the paragraph specifically to the group and whatever I was feeling at the time, so that it was kind of new content. I also hate when someone shares to like 10 groups, because if you're friends with that person, you can actually see they shared this post to like 10 different groups.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It'll show, right?
I saw your post in 4 groups. So yeah. And even if it was over a few days, I actually have some positive feedback for it. I didn't get a chance to talk to you about it, but I can't remember the post exactly, but I think just now, like spitballing, I would have started with, do you use a first player token? I don't know if you did that, but that would have been my gut suggestion. Like, that would have been what I would have led with. Like,
yeah.
And then say, this is our first player token for game, you know, such and such. And I have no problem, my group people, and I try to encourage it, say, link in the comments. I think you should say that, because then it's like people will know to go to the first comment and follow you if they want.
That's pretty smart.
So that's one of the big things that I try to encourage. We can come back to it, is leading with a question.
Do you see a lot of people just link and not say anything? Like, they just link something?
Not as much, but they do paid shares and try to say, we just funded, or funding goal X. Those are garbage to me. I don't see anybody even commenting on those.
Yeah. I find when something lacks context, like, what is this and why should I care? That then it just doesn't perform very well in a group, right?
So one of the things that I talked to Paul Grogan about, actually, when he started posting more in our group and talking to me a few years ago in his own frustrations with trying to find reach, is that we discovered that Facebook is burying things, at least over the past year or two. It's getting worse right now, but they're burying things with links in the post. Now, I don't know if it's just if the link tanks over, because I have another suggestion for people, which is put an image first, then put your link in the text if you want. Like, you know, hey, like yours, do you guys use a first player token? I'm developing a game. Here's ours. Check out the game. You could put the link right there, but put the player token image first so that.
Yep. So that it doesn't show a link.
Yeah. So the link doesn't overtake the post formatting, because you can't undo that. You put the image first. Now, that's a tip 101 I think people should be doing more often than just letting the link take over. And I think more people are catching on to that. But when it comes to burying post. I'm still struggling to figure it out, but it definitely hurts you to do. If you had done a post with your first player coin and asked a question, didn't have any links in it, versus adding the link or having a link to your website or whatever, you know what I mean, that had a picture of your coin, that second scenario is going to tank.
Yep.
And I don't think it's your fault. I think it's the fault of what Facebook prioritizes viewers, you know, seeing in their feed.
Yeah, you know, it's actually interesting because Rick could probably chime in from an SEO perspective, but several years ago when fake news was a very hot topic, the thing with fake news that Facebook did was, you know, we always thought that in search engine stuff that Google would start to really take social signals as like a major ranking factor. And, you know, so to rank a website at the top of Google. And interestingly enough, it does matter a little bit, you know, like if you have a large Twitter following or something like that, that does impact. But what I find most interesting is it's actually social media like Facebook that has taken Google ranking factors as a signal for reliable content. So what actually happens is, you know, you share a website with information. If it's like Fox News or CNN or whatever, they have a lot of reliable, trustworthy links pointing to their websites from reputable places, and what these links, you know, backlinks from wherever on the internet to their sites. What happens is all of those links show Google that you are trustworthy. It's kind of like a vote of confidence for you. Like if a restaurant had a 1,000 Yelp reviews and was 4.5 stars versus like 4.5 stars, but only 10 Yelp reviews, it's like a big difference, right? It's like, oh, this restaurant's clearly vetted and been in business for a long time. I trust that review a lot more than the one that has 10 reviews. So Google is the same way. And, you know, a website that has hundreds of thousands of links is going to rank a lot better than a website that has 10 or 20. And the reality is that most board game creators have tiny websites with 10 to 20 links, or, you know, definitely less than 100 links, right?
So you think verified content helps, huh?
Yeah. And so Facebook, actually, I know this is true from several years ago when they actually decided to moderate the fake news based on the reliability of the website's link profile. So I think that has kind of a collateral damage on a new website that, you know, that you're sharing, you know, which I mean, every single new board game is just not going to flow as well.
Right. And I definitely have a solution for all of the issues you guys have just mentioned about with one easy thing. So I think a lot of people online today are treating social networks like the end all to marketing. Like they go on there, they're going to sign up to like 20 groups. And then they, like you said, they blast their message and then, you know, hope people click to it. You want to ask an engaging question. So for example, maybe you can ask a question like, what do you not like about resource gathering games, board games? Right. We'll just use that as an example.
Or and maybe what do you like? Right. Because negative will get you flamed.
Well, it really depends.
Well, I've got a good formula. I found that this has been quite helpful. If you do something like this, finish the sentence. Resource gathering is ... And then let people fill in the blank. And
that works too.
I think he's going on a bigger thing about getting, not just relying on groups.
Yeah. Like it also depends on where you're going. Because if your game is a resource driven game, then of course you want to be positive about it. Where if it's not, then you want to be negative about it. Anyway, the idea is to, instead of, you know, spamming your game or, you know, going to all these groups, ask engaging questions like that, keep and gather the responses. And then on your own mediums and channels, create an excellent resource that incorporates that. So you say, hey, you know what? I talked to 50 people and here's their response on why resource gathering is the best way to go in a board game. And you can literally list, you know, all those different opinions. You put your own opinions in there and then you can create this really great resource that people will link to either on your website or on your personal channels or YouTube, you know, whatever. And then, of course, you can also promote your game on your own resources after that as well. Yeah. And that will also bump up. Like if you have a website, that will bump up because people will link to it. God, this is really cool. We got like 50 different opinions on this. You know, it'll bump up your website if you have one or whatever channels you're using, you know, YouTube channel or your own personal group or Facebook channel. But at the same time, you're not spamming those groups. And those people who are in those groups, when you ask those questions, if they're interested, they'll click on your profile. It's just like old school. Like we talked about this before. It's old school forum posting. You know, you go on a forum, a lot of forums have rules where you can't promote or do not, you know, stuff. But if you're very interactive and you have a profile that talks about what you do or what you, the products or services you offer, people, after, you know, reading your responses, if they think you're a great person or they really like the way you respond to things or post things, they're going to look at your profile. And then they're going from there to your actual site or product or service. First of all, you're engaging the groups as opposed to spamming. And then you're also collecting great data that you can use for a future resource on your own brands and own channels. And I think if you do it that way, your advertising is just going to be phenomenal.
You still need people to come back to your channel. So the groups are going to be in a quicker way. So those conversations, I think, are still a foundation for that. And then you could take that data and maybe if you get people to sign up to your newsletter, you can maybe send out an email blast or something like that, right?
Yeah, like I said, the channel, use your own, take the data and use your own channels to promote it.
Yeah, because a lot of people are doing their own groups. I know you're not a Facebook person, but I mean, whether it's Reddit, I think Reddit would be the same tactics. There's groups. There's still groups. There's still subgroups. They're still either focused on one thing or not, right? So you can have your own Reddit channel. I don't know how Twitter works for ROI and stuff like that. I've never really had much luck. I don't know a lot of people that do. Some have, I guess. Smaller games have had some traction on Twitter, but it's harder to have conversations just the way the format is.
The idea, though, with those kind of social medias is pretty much your presence is what it is. I mean, people are going to go on Twitter. If that's what they do, they're going to go on Twitter no matter what. So if you get your presence while they're scrolling through the feed or on Instagram or on whatever social media tool, that's what's great about social media tools is presence. You can continually remind people that you're there. So that's, I think, is the most important part of marketing on social media. But of course, at the same time, you also we always talk about capturing the email, because then you can personally contact them. You have to be proactive in your contact with your potential buyers, as opposed to reactive. Because if you're reactive, they may forget about you. They're never going to see you again. But if you're actually, remind them, like, oh, here's a great picture of a prototype, and you Instagram or tweet about, hey, we just got this really great idea on maybe a future a technique that no one's ever heard of before in a board game. If you do things like that, you're going to keep them in your brand. And of course, you're gonna make them very hungry for future things you offer.
Now, related to other things that we could, that our listeners could emulate, Tom, you mentioned one great example was to lead with a question, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on what else can people do in order to engage a group.
Right, feedback is another good one, a good example. Like even if you're not generally looking for feedback, and we all have seen the posts where we know that people might not be, I don't find it as a big of a turnoff as opposed to like the paid share with no context. Like if you've got a box cover that's a work in progress, whether it's the line art versus when they added the color, like share that before and after. That simple stuff is cool. And people are it's gonna start building a story. Like I think people need to be doing this stuff a month or two in advance. Waiting till the last week before your game comes out is just such a bad approach. People scramble. Like I have people reaching out to me to book a promotion after launch still, and it just boggles my mind. And like I've never even heard of their game or seen it until like they tell me about it. It's like not saying that I see everything, but I'm pretty active and I do see a lot of stuff with what goes through our feed and channel. And it's like, how could you not have made a post yet? You know what I mean? Like, how have you not engaged the community? So there's that timing aspect, right? To answer that question, like feedback's a good one that gets neglected. Even showcasing, if you got minis, showcasing the mock-up of it and just maybe tell a little bit about the character, asking which characters you like. If there's four in the game, if it's a dungeon crawler or something with rangers and elves and orcs and whatever, like which character would you pick? Like those simple little A, B, C, D, give a letter answers, or even like Sean said, where fill in the blank kind of thing. Like if you show a hero, what should his battle cry be? Like anything that gets people responding naturally. You got to call to action, whether it doesn't have to be a question. I like Sean's suggestion, fill in the blank, and you could apply that however you want. Be creative, just get people commenting. So now you get people commenting, and I can only speak for Facebook because that's what I kind of spend my time on, but that's going to get other people seeing it in their feed because their friends comment, and then more people comment, and then they comment. And that's why one of the giveaways we do is just a like and comment type thing, because it's not about signups. It's not about getting emails. It's about getting awareness. And the more people that see it in their feed, that's why we do them closer to launch, is because it's like hey, here's a reminder, this launches in 4 days, you know, but you're answering a question about a game. What's your favorite civilization type mechanic or something, whatever it may be.
What's really great about that method too, is that you're also A/B split testing before you go to market, which is great.
Right.
It's like free split testing.
Yeah. If you really do care, like where the logo is and you're not sure, people brush that under the rug. Like they just decide, just ask anyway, put the logo in, have your designer or graphic guy put the logo in two different spots and ask people. I know a few different publishers that do that a lot. I can't name names right now. It doesn't really matter, but there's definitely an artist that he does a lot of graphic design and he's always showcasing. And even during the campaign, people are forgetting to do this, like show the characters, have your community decide the names, whether it's polls or as a stretch goal or whatever, have the community name that stuff. That's things that I don't think gets utilized enough either. You can do it before, you can do it during. Get people engaged in that process, right? Because stretch goals, we all know, are starting to become just, they're fluff. They don't really mean anything anymore. Wow, you have the right, you have the correct card thickness. Thank you for not being cheap. You know what I mean? But you've got to have other ways to engage your audience.
I have a question. I was wondering, when you look at a post that is kind of on the fringe of a little bit maybe too self-promotion-y and, you know, you're trying to decide if it's something that will stand or not, do you ever look at someone else's post history in your group?
Yes, 100%. So if you're just joining the group and this is your first post, we put on post approval. And it's just something we can do to watch. And a lot of times I'll try to give them a benefit of the doubt and maybe comment and say, hey, thanks for sharing. Maybe in the future, could you share the image directly or save the link for the comment? So I try to be patient and give people a pass. But if I look at the history and that's all they do is, well, I'll speak of content creators, but the YouTube stuff's like out of control. Everybody and their brother wants to share a YouTube video. And there's so many content creators. It's just overwhelming. We get inundated. And people like hate me for it because it's like, we delete it or whatever. It's like, it's nothing personal, but like how many YouTube videos do we need in an hour? Like really, let's be realistic. If I want to watch a video on Dungeon Pets, I'm going to Google it. I'm going to search it on YouTube and I'm going to watch it there. Like, yeah. I'm glad you made an unboxing video of it, but nobody's going to watch it when you throw a link in there in the channel. Mm-hmm. Same with the Kickstarter videos. I think some people, sometimes those are a little different. I guess I can step back on that. Like if you want, I would ask for feedback. Hey, we're doing our Kickstarter video for our upcoming campaign. What do you all think? Do you like it? Can you tell what kind of game it is? Like that needs to happen more often. And I would be happy if people did that and asked genuine questions.
We should do this with our ads, Andrew. We should like put our ads. Hey, do you like this ad or this ad?
Well, you could do A/B. No, but why not do an A/B though? If for Deliverance, like, hey, which image would get your attention? And ask people, and now you're doing an A/B test before you waste your money on Facebook, and you don't have to do it with actual dollars. Yep. You could do it with 100 comments. Do it as a – I wish the polls were a little better on Facebook, right, so they could have an image, which you can add them to them, but they're super tiny, and you got to click on them. But you could technically do it as a poll and add the image to it and maybe put the image in the comments.
That's excellent feedback. I mean, I'm definitely filing that one for later. I find that when people ask, what do you think? When you ask something specific, even if it's just something tiny that provides some sort of context, like here are these characters, which one do you think would do best as kind of the mascot of this game or whatever? Right. That's
a good
really
one too.
Cool.
Anything.
Or even A or B, you know, which do you prefer?
Yeah, if you've got different critters in your game, showcase four of them. Be like, hey, which one should we put up front? Or make bigger. Just, it sounds frivolous, but even if, like I said, I know I don't want to sound disingenuous, but even if you don't care, I don't care that you don't care. Like, it's still going to get comments, and then you're still going to get more people potentially that look at that art and go, that is really cool. What game is this? Now I clicked on it because you put the link in there, whatever, in the comments or, you know, after you added the image, like I suggested, right? And now you've got maybe 20, 30 people out of 100 comments that generally are interested versus just throwing up an image, telling people or a link to your landing page saying, I got a game coming out, and you got 4 clicks. But you're getting more people that are generally interested. And then you're going to now make another post in a week or two and showcase the board. And like, hey, here's our board. Are the icons readable? Like, do you guys think the contrast is good? We're still going through the works. Even if your artist has already kind of tweaked it, you can show an A/B even. Say, hey, here's our before and after. What do you think?
Yeah. The single event that caused the greatest number of email signups to my Deliverance newsletter. This is back when, before I put a penny into advertising. I just launched my landing page or, you know, my website. And someone else, not myself, posted my link in the Board Game Revolution community and said, I'm so excited for this game that's coming out. And they posted the link. That post.
I'm surprised it snuck by us. No, I'm just kidding.
It was hilarious.
Yeah, we don't. Yeah, we try not to moderate like natural excitement. I think that's a bad look too. Like, but let's be real. A lot of friends of those people are like, "Hey, I just noticed this happened to be launching today, and I'm so excited." Mm-hmm. No, you're not. I do it too, though. I'm like, "Hey, is anybody backing this?" I do it for our sponsors. I break that rule. It's not really a rule. It's just at the end of the day, if somebody is excited, who am I to judge? And yeah, that's a good. That's another good way to get organic reach is sharing it. But he could have shared the box cover and asked that same question and might have got more comments because the link maybe didn't affect the algorithms. So, but you didn't ask him to do it, but I'm saying if you had your friend quote unquote do it for you or whatever, or you right. do it yourself, it's not any different. Like there's nothing wrong saying, hey, I'm excited about my game coming out. That only goes so far because everybody is excited about their games coming out. And like I said, what, there's 20,000, 10,000, I don't know, a year, right. 10,000 a year. Like,
yeah,
it's got, you got to have a way to stand out of the crowd. And
sure. Yeah, I think your post, you really need to make sure that your posts aren't about you. Like I see it in a couple of groups, like, hey, I just created a YouTube channel, check it out. And like,
right.
Anyone can create a YouTube channel. Anyone can create a podcast, write articles, make a board game. So it's got to be more than I just did this thing.
Well, what I think is missing, what makes your game different? What sets it apart? I don't think enough people focus on that. I think people should focus on more of that. So it's more about what makes your game unique. Like, hey, if you do like resource management, we got a game coming out and we have a unique twist on it. You know, like stuff like that might get people more interested than just saying, you know, oh boy, another worker placement game with dragons or something or, you know. And then take all that feedback and see if you got any good stuff from it. See which groups gave you good engagement, which groups didn't, because that's also going to give you an A/B test for the groups. I sometimes don't post in some of my own groups because I just don't get the comments as I would in maybe a different one, like my solo group or something, you know?
Right. Yeah, I completely agree. Not all groups are the same. And, you know, sometimes you do make a post in some groups and it's received very well. And in other groups, it just falls on the sideline. So Tom, why don't you tell us a little bit about the other groups that you run?
So they're just kind of side shoots of, you know, just trying to have something to, I guess, have a place that I can control or set the tone in. That's the whole reason I started BGR, which I never answered, I don't think, that question. But it was just to have a place I felt like welcome and maybe a place that I could decide what was right, what was wrong. And to do some advertising, it's hard when you've got other mods and admins who everybody's got their own agendas. So it helps have my own. So I have a solo group, which is close to 10,000 now. And I know there's bigger solo groups out there, but ours is really, really like taken off and really positive, really engaging. I've kind of handed it off to some friends to help moderate and run that.
I enjoy it. Isn't that BG41?
Yeah, BG41, Board Games for One. And we've got the Board Game Exchange, which is one of the first bigger buy, sell, and trade groups. I know there's a couple other ones out there that are affiliated with another group, but we have 38,000, close to 40,000 members now. I have two that I wish would take off, and it's just a side passion project for me. One is Colorblind, the Association for Colorblind Gamers. So people may or may not know I'm colorblind. Not like horribly. I have red, green, some purples and blues, some pink and gray, stuff like that. But it affects me, and I can't play a lot of games without annoying my partner or people at the table. What color is that? Wait a minute. I just moved the wrong pawn. Like, so that issue is something that I'm actually looking at to starting maybe a nonprofit organization to. And I'm trying to like take that idea into something bigger, because just doing it about vision issues in general, like, okay, colorblind issues, some people misunderstand and go, oh, well, I don't want my game looking ugly, or I shouldn't have to play ugly games. Well, none of this, making the game accessible, at least for colorblind players, doesn't mean you have to have no colors. It's a big misconception. But it can help adding shapes and adding symbols and having more contrasting colors and different things helps everybody. Low light. When you're playing in like at night and you can't see as well across the table, you know, a lot of these things translate to helping everybody with accessibility. So I kind of think that's what I'm leaning towards later this year, looking into starting.
Cool.
I want to make sure that we get to address the topic of giveaways, because this is something that I actually think do very well. I have one client that mentioned to me, it was one of my first board game projects I ever did. They said, you know, hey, Andrew, I need you to pause the ads because we have the a Board Game Revolution giveaway, you know, that we're running right now. And we just want to see what the traffic looks like from that. And it was solid traffic. And they were like, yeah, this is doing very well for us. So, and their Kickstarter campaign was live. They've run the BGR giveaway several times now, and they noticed, but the, you know, because I was working with them as their marketer, this is back in, I guess, 2019, they were like, I want to see, you know, what the traffic difference is and that kind of thing. I've seen giveaways that other groups have done, you know, mixed results in my view, but they're always kind of a little bit of a, I don't know, a little hard to peg if they're actually working or whatever. And for you guys, I mean, you really don't charge a whole lot for what I consider.
We try to keep the cost low for, yeah, I try to sell our services as low cost ROI to, you know.
What does yours work better than a lot of others?
There's a couple things. I'm glad you brought up giveaways, because there's a couple misconceptions that I don't know where it comes from, but some of our, even our current clients have said they don't want to do a giveaway during the Kickstarter. They want to see if it affects it. There's some ideas that a giveaway takes away backers, and I don't agree with that, and I haven't seen that. So one thing we did not do up until the end of last year is we started using Bitly for everything. So I'll create a Bitly for, so if we run a, we do three types of giveaways too. So we have giveaways, we have an email list. It's not just all giveaways, but that's how I started, because I didn't really know any better. It was like, hey, win a game, check out the Kickstarter. You know what I mean? It was just like a thing. And then I started using Gleam because I could control where we send people, and I can come back to that. But we do one before you go live, which is like a flash or pre-launch, I call it. And that definitely does get you like the awareness, but it's not for signups. But the Gleam we use, not by choice, but we run them towards the end. It's the hardest time to do it, and it's the hardest for us to prove that they work, and to hear that people still feel they're good is rewarding, because we do it at the most difficult time, when traffic is low, and the Kickstarter is at its lowest, right, the mid to 2 week slump towards the end, and then we run them then, and we drive traffic on Twitter, on Instagram, to KickTrack, to your Facebook pages. We have people answer questions and visit the Kickstarter daily for extra entries. So I really and focused about what we do to make sure that that traffic's going to your campaign and your socials. And we have a tweet that goes out that's not like, hey, I'm going to win this game. No, it's like, it looks organic. Like user X says, hey, check out this game and back it on Kickstarter. So you've got hundreds of people tweeting your game, and to help track backers during that time. So we use Bitly now to try to separate that traffic to see, okay, what are we getting before the campaign? What are we getting when we share it as a post on my own or one of my admins? You know, I try to use a separate Bitly, and then I use one during the Gleam time to see all that stuff. And if I need to, sometimes I'll do them in the last 48 hours, because that's part of what we do, is we try to pick the winner, do a 48-hour push to help our clients. Like, okay, it's 48 hours, the most crucial time, like final countdown, you know, make a bunch of tweets and some posts and say who's back and who's not, why not, you know, that sort of thing. People will run multiple giveaways, and giveaway saturation, I think, attributes to a lot of this misunderstanding. Competing groups that do giveaways, some of them stop doing it. Some of them still do, and I don't want to talk badly about anybody else's methods, but we feel we try really hard to utilize everything we have, whether it's Twitter, I have Instagram, I have a separate image for Instagram. I have, you know, stories, Facebook stories. We use the guides in Facebook groups, which used to be called the units, so that they're pinned, like multiple pinned posts. We'll do the announcements. I do them as a calendar on our page, as an event. It's like, I don't just post it. It's a lot of freaking work. It drives me nuts some days, because it's like 7 o'clock and I want to eat dinner and I have a day job. And I can't, it's not like I just do a Gleam and throw it out there and hope it does well. Some people may or may not do that. I don't think that's enough. So it's like all those other things come together to help drive traffic to your campaign. So, and we include banners with our costs. So I think, you know, we really are, because a lot of people will sell banners, and I have a hard time quantifying that on Facebook. It's, you can't track it like you can a website. I don't think the ROI is there. I just feel weird and icky about it. So I include them in our giveaways, and it's like, hey, it promotes the campaign, and it says we have a giveaway, so you get two for one.
What I consider so important for pre-marketing, and we espouse this philosophy all the time, is that the goal of our pre-marketing campaign is not necessarily to get an email address, but it is to educate a person about your product. So if I can get their email address, I've won the right to communicate with them and share with them more information that they will then go research, right? So if somebody, you know, bought into the theme and really loved it, they are going to want to know about gameplay next, and then maybe the components and, you know, other things like that. What you're saying that is really kind of music to my ears as a marketer, you know, someone who's going to Kickstarter with my own product, you know, full disclosure, I was, you know, considering using a giveaway or not. And what you said actually convinced me that I should use your giveaway, and I'm an idiot if I don't, right?
Well, it's not, I would like to compare. So you and I can talk on a different level as far as I'm not pretending to be an expert in any of this stuff. I've learned it all on the fly. I just try things as, you know, throw them to the wall, see what sticks. And if something's not working, I try something else, right? Like there used to, people were opposed to Gleam and like, oh, I won't use Gleam, blah, 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 and this and that. And so I came up with the Flash one. And then you find out people are like, no, I don't want to click on that. It's like, there's always going to be somebody who's lazy and doesn't want to enter. And it's like a personal pet peeve of mine. It's like you have... Like the Gleam works perfect for me because, and people needed to understand this, they get it in their head, well, there's 25 entries, I got to do them all. No, you don't. I have picked winners who have only done three. So yeah. The beauty of it is you can decide as the person entering, okay, I don't have Twitter, I'm not going to do that. I don't have Instagram, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to click like, I'm going to, you know, sign up for the email or go check out the Kickstarter page. That's why I like to ask people, we have three different questions, like an easy, medium, hard. I like to make sure they're learning about the game. Baiting people with fake prizes that aren't their game. There's somebody brought it up recently and they like, I've seen it before, like win Gloomhaven for like a party game. Like I hate that tactic. And I think, I don't know if other people are doing that on some of their own giveaways.
Win an iPad.
Win an iPad to back my game. That yeah. What is... How do you feel that's going to get you? Okay, so you get 1,000 signups. Do you think those people are going to keep subscribe to you when you send them about your puppies and kittens card game? No, they're going to unsubscribe instantly. It's going to go to spam. To answer the question why I think it works is because I feel we combine multiple angles instead of just creating a Gleam and just throwing it on, making a post. It's hard if you don't have any followers on your page. Like, if you yep. only have 100 followers, you can't go and do a giveaway on your own and expect the same results. I've worked really hard over the past few years to build up an audience of people that I don't even have to probably do as much as I do to get the Gleams floating around. And I don't really know where they circulate to, but I definitely see the traffic, you know.
So I just want to thank everyone for listening. Today I'm closing the episode because Rick has frozen and party crashed. And anyway, Thomas, it's been wonderful to have you on the show. Check out the show notes for links to the things that Thomas is involved in. Ask a question if you have any by going to crowdfundingnerds.com/question. And until then, we'll see you on the next one.
Later, nerds.
Later. Thanks again.